We're going to talk now. We're going to talk in the time that we have. We're going to talk about making drishos. How do we talk to our children or correct them? What is the mahalach when you want to correct a child and you want to ask something of your child? So Rabbi Hoffman is going to talk about 5 things that every parent has to know when you are correcting your kid. If you have the Mar Makomos, we're going to get to them in a moment. The first thing it was all Mar Makomos, yeah. So he says this is Shir 6. It's on page 103. He says, when you want to teach your child something, you want to get him to do something, you want to restrain him. So how do you go about it? He says, the first thing when you talk to a child is the tone. The tone is incredibly important. He says, you see by children, sometimes, you know, you can give some children, you give them a patch and the child doesn't cry. And he says, other children, you give them like a bad look and the kid falls apart. He says, why is that? What's the difference? Because what's mashbia on them is the ikar, how you go about it. And he says that the ikar in how you go about dealing with a child from an older person is your yichus to them, how you're doing it. The way about how you do that thing is going to make a big impact. And he says those feelings, the way you do it, what your facial expressions are about, are the ikar that the child is going to resonate with. And he says even children, he says, the way you look at a child, you can have a little baby, and you give them like a frown, you give them a smile, they'll get exactly what you're trying to do with them. And he says, when we react, the way we react is how we're going to deal with them, and that's going to make the biggest impact. And he says, we need to learn how to interact to them, and how to interact, and how temperate are we going to be, and how moderate are we going to be, and we have to be calm. He says, when you are being mechanech a child, it needs to be with control and with calmness. He says, the Gemara in Gittin, which you have in front of you, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Vav, and in Shabbos, tells us that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said a number of things, 3 things that a person has to teach, say in their house, Erev Shabbos. This is what we say, Baba Madlikin, right? So he said, Asartim Aravtim Elitik Wesaner, right? Did you take Meiser? Did you set up the Erev? Did you light the Shabbos candles? And then he goes on to say, and then Rabbi Bar Chana says the most important thing. This is not the thing that we see in the Bemalikin, but he says, Tsarach lemerenihu benichusa, ki hechi de la kabluminei. If you want to instruct your family of how to do things, it needs to be benachas. You want to make sure the candles are ready for Shabbos, you want to make sure the meiser is taken, you want to make sure the blech is on, you want to make sure that the lights are on and all the things are good in your house, it needs to be benichusa, nicely. And this is the chashivas of the tone. Whatever you're telling your family, the tone sets everything. It needs to be with nachas, it needs to be pleasant. And this is a halacha, says Rabbi Hoffman. It's a halacha paskin in the Gemara. The tone says everything about the way you're going to do things. And he says from this Gemara, we see that a person is going to be makbid, and a person is going to demand things. A person is going to want things from their families, all these things. And it gives a discussion here about how a person made a mistake because the tone wasn't right, and that's what the Gemara goes on to say. And he says when a person has stress, and a person causes stress in the house because of the tone, it makes everything worse. It ruins everything. And the Gemara says that whoever puts extra fear, unnecessary anxiety, unnecessary stress in the house, because they speak in a way that's very stressful and very demanding. And if a kid spills water on the table and their father gets very tense and there's too many Legos and the mother gets very tense and they can't tell their child, can you please pick up the Legos? Instead of saying, why is it always... And then the child remembers anything about the Legos 5 years from now. He doesn't care about the Legos. He remembers that his mother and father freaked out and they couldn't control themselves when something spilled and something got messy. And he says, Rashi goes on. We're not going to go into the details, but Rashi talks about how these can lead to Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damit, and Chilul Shabbos. Because a person, didn't go to the mikveh properly, and other things happened in Tanakh and Shas where we see that because a person got very scared, because the tone wasn't done in a calm way, terrible things happened afterwards. And this is the Gemara here in Gittin, and this is the point number one. Yisod number two. He says, the Gemara says, talks about, so the Gemara says, puts it in a question form. The Gemara doesn't say, make sure you take Meiser. The Gemara says, Asartem, did you take Meiser? Did you set the clocks for Shabbos? Did you light the candles? The second point when you're coming to instruct a child is put it in a question form. Don't put it in a demand, do this. And he says, if the person comes up and he's screaming, how come you didn't take Meiser? So how come you don't do this? It has to be in a way that the person doesn't feel like there's pressure on them and there's something against them. And therefore he says this pressure that can be in Ruchnis, it can be in Gashmis as well. And when you put pressure on someone and stress on them, they fight back. I don't want to do it. Don't tell me what to do. And there's hisnagdus, there's antithesis against this. Adarabi says, the person doesn't want to be, you know, demanded of. It should be a question. Could you do this? Could you take care of this, please? Can you go bring in the groceries? Not go get the groceries. Could you please bring in the groceries when we're talking with our children? And in this way, we put it as a question, so then you make everything very neutral. There's nothing uncomfortable here. And you're not causing them to be anti you when you ask things of them. But if you come with demand, how come you didn't do this? You should take care of this. Then they're going to become anti you. Yeah. Okay.
The first time, say it in a nice way. The third and fourth time, start saying it.
Could you please not color on the walls? Could you please not break the chairs? Then, okay, at a certain point. But we're talking in the immediate thing. Yeah.
When your kids are teenagers and you ask them nicely and it's like there's crickets.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to
the... Leads to this. Okay. So you have to, we're all on pages.
Is he speaking to, one time, what age?
He's probably speaking to younger children, 100%.
That's what it sounds like.
But all, again, I think we all agree here, even when we do lose our cool, which I assume we are human beings, and we do lose our cool, we all know that we shouldn't lose our cool. Meaning, we all know that we would have been better if we would have kept ourselves together. That's the truth. The difficulty, we're, you know, preaching to the choir, as it says, we all know what the emes is. The question is to be mindful of the emes when it happens. When we all feel bad when we lose our cool. We know that the interaction with our children would have been better if we didn't lose our cool. We know it would have been more successful. But we do. That's what happens. So he brings here Gemara Nedarim.
Doesn't agree that there are times and place for everything?
He's not talking about that. He's not talking about it in this shmooze.
When is your time place losing
the Rambam does say, the Rambam does say, that the Rambam does say that there's a time to be to tekiv, but you have to be in control. You have to know you're doing it. It can't be that you fly off the handle and you don't remember, you black out, you don't remember the last 3 minutes. Like, it can't be that. If you're going to do it, you say, I'm going to make a conscious decision now because I want my child to pay attention to what I'm seeing and they need to know this is serious and I can turn it off when I need to. Again, easier said than done. But I think everybody would agree to know that, that dargah. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach tells a story. He said when he was in Cheder, he said he once, the Rebbe went out and for a second, and he went under the table. He was a little boy, like his first day in Cheder, and he like was thought he was being cute, and he went to hide under the table. So, and the desk, whatever they were sitting at in the Cheder.
The Cheder's a table.
So the Rebbe came back in, and the Rebbe was not pleased. And he told him to get up, he sat in the seat, and he didn't say anything. And he said the Rebbe came out, and he went back a few minutes later, and he came in very calm, and he took him aside, and he said, I want you to know that I went to calm down, and I'm not doing this because I'm angry, but I want you to know what's wrong, and he gave him a patch. He gave him a patch on the hand. That's what he did. Again, it's a different, we're talking about a different dog. We're talking about a different,
the right way to do it.
We're talking about, we're talking about, we're talking about, we're talking about,
because they do the first part.
We're doing, it's a different dog, obviously, and things are done differently, when it makes sense, but that's what he's saying. There's, you have to be, you don't do it because you're upset and you're annoyed and the child challenged your, you know, your authority and what a mechutzif, and you do it because I need to make a point. I need to make a point, mitzanchech, not because I was personally hurt. It's hard. It's hard. Children can say very mean things. Teenagers can say very mean things. And they're having their own struggles. They're not doing it to hurt you personally. They're not doing it because they, obviously, you know, they're not doing it to attack you, but they don't know how to express themselves. As we, their synapses are not, you know, fully formed, you know? We have to be in the best control that we can. Gilles, this is an example, he says. The Nedarim. Good? More Nedarim? So the Gemara says, the Gemara, the beginning of Masechta, the Gemara, famous story at the beginning of Masechta, Amar Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon was the Kohen Gadol. Yemailo achalti Ashim Nazar. I never did Ashim Nazar Tameh. I never did Ashim Nazar. Why? He was Makbid because he didn't think that anyone brought became a Nazar Lishma for the right reasons, right? So he says, V'reisav Shehu Yafa Einayim. I saw this guy, very handsome, the Tov Roy Kitzosav, and he had these long hairs, right? Taltalim. Amarti Lo Bani. Mara Isa Lishchas Sarecha Zana. What did you do to destroy this beautiful hair of yours? So Amar li roa ha'isi, I was a shepherd for my father, and I saw my reflection of bikesh. I saw the Itahar was trying to take me out of this world. Amarti lo rasha lama ta miskabo la masheni shalcha. Why are you trying to hurt me here? And I went and made myself a nazir. And the roa, what did Shimon HaTzadik do? Kissed him on the head and said, I would definitely eat from such an usher. Wow, what happened here? What's going on here? So says Rabbi Hoffman, what happened here? Shimon HaTzadik sees this guy with long hair, and he looks like looks too good looking, and he's very fancy. He didn't go to him and say, "You shagits, cut your hair." And which he said, "What happens in yeshivas?" Well, he said, "What happens in yeshivas?" He says, "You're a shagits, rutzli histaper. You're a shagits. Go get a haircut with your long hair." That's not what he said. He said.
Harris went to, when the Hill David Shul burnt down in Brooklyn, Rabbi Harris went to, they made a whole thing with David Harris. He said, "I was there." He goes, "How can we be back so early?" He goes, "Because one of the girls got up there and said, the shul burned down because of the trip. Because I lifted my hair and I said, I guess I got to leave."
I hear. Let me just make the point and they'll tell me. So he says, Shimon HaTzadik looked at this guy with the long hair. He didn't say, "Go cut your hair." He asked a question. And from his question, the young man surprised him about something that he didn't realize. He saw a young guy with long hair and said, "Ah, so your long hair, you look disgusting." He didn't say that. He said, what's the story behind your long hair? Tell me, young man, why do you have your hair so long? What's behind it?" And from there, something very beautiful is revealed about this young man. Instead of saying, "Ah, cut your hair." And that's the difference. Look what the Rebbe gained from. Look what Shimon HaTzadik became. He learned about a remarkable young man because he asked a question instead of attacking him. Yeah.
He says the way to deal with the
satan
is literally to break into two.
And
it's not you,
Marty Loy.
It's him.
Cool.
Very good. So
they don't, on the point, in school, going through the yeshiva system, we're never taught that. How to deal with kerev.
Yeah.
Because, like I heard a story once, a lady, she started becoming from, and she got a ride with some rabbits in somewhere, and halfway through the ride, the rabbits go, "You know, you should really be covering your elbows." And the lady goes, "You know, like, I only became from last week."
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You can avoid those situations if you ask the right question. Right. Let me hear why you don't cover your sleeves.
I don't have an answer.
We're not taught this. I don't recall hearing anything.
So now you have this.
You'll tell
your children.
That when he was in yeshiva, there was the Beatles were popular, right? And there was these two women who wanted to go out there and like the Beatles, right? And Rosh Hashiva called them in and said, "If you don't cut your hair, don't come back to yeshiva on Sunday."
Okay.
Right? And they responded back and said, "What do you mean? The Nuzzer doesn't cut his hair. Well, why should we not cut our hair?"
Yeah.
And he said, go cut your hair. You're not a Nuzzer. What are you doing?"
Yeah.
It was
a valid question.
It was very hurried. It was like, "No, get out of here. No, I don't care why you're here."
Exactly. So he tells a side story here about how a gadol acts. He tells a beautiful story on the bottom. He said he once went to go see that he was in Bnei Brak for a wedding and he couldn't get a bus or a car back. So he went, he had to sleep over, he slept over on a bench like in the Chazon Ish's basement or somewhere. So the next morning he went to go see he wanted to go meet the great Chazon Ish. He had a shayla he wanted to ask him in learning. And when he got to the Chazon Ish, he couldn't talk, he was shaking. He lost all of his composure. And the Chazon Ish came over to him and he held his hand and he sat him down. And he calmed him, and he started to rub his back, and he said, "Tell what do you have to talk to me about?" And the Chazon Ish is like, "Get out of here, wasting my time." He says, "An Adam Gadol has the patience, he talks to you, he doesn't kick you out." And he says, "This is the same Mida that Shimon HaTzadik had." Then the next thing is, how? He says, in Chinuch, the question needs to be, how could it be? How do you ask the question? He says, sometimes you can tell a child, "You're a bad kid. How could you do something not right? It's us to do such a thing. Whoever does this is going to punishment and they're going to go ahead of him." Or you could say, big kids don't do this. This is not how, the Ben Torah acts. It's not how Bas Yisrael acts. You're better than this. Don't you want to be something special, something bigger? That's how you say it. He says, when you're talking to the child, and you say the child is bad, so you gave a psak on the child, your psak on the child is not good. He says, but you come to the child, and you say, ah, look at the older kids. There's a boy, you look up to the older kids. How's an older kid act? How's the kid in high school act? How does the older people act?
So
you're more chashuv than that.
In years ago, it was much better. It's a passionist.
Passionist, right. It's an expression we don't use so much enough over here, but the same idea. It's beneath you. You're better than this, okay? You're a better person. He said, let's give an example. He says, a child tells a lie. Some people say, asur l'shaker. It's asur to lie. How could you do such a thing? And he says that a child doesn't chap the concept of that it's asur. Adarabba. He says even adults don't understand it's usher not to lie. He says, how's a kid going to understand this? And he says, he's always going to say, oh, I had to do it. And adults are always trying to say, no, it was okay, it was permissible. He says, when a child lies, he says, tell him, he says, I know it's hard for you to not lie right now because you're a child. But Be'ezus Hashem, when you get older, you want to act like an adult. And you know, big people, that's not how they act. You know, they don't talk this way. They tell the truth. They stand up for their mistakes. You know, they're aware and they admit when they do something wrong. And so this is how you talk to the child. He not going to go into the Gemara here. He talks about how the Gemara here in Kedushin says that only at the age of 16 does a child know how to be mekabel tochacha, like in your face musser. The Gemara says, L'satan gira beinach amar le rava l'rav nasim bar ami, adidcha al tzavari dvarecha, he says that Rashi says that from the age of 16 to 22, I received such musar. I got musar. Before the age of 16, says Rabbi Hoffman, a child can't handle it. He says, to really talk to a child directly, da da da, like that, he says, to the age of 16, they can't handle it. They can't, they're not able to accomplish something like that. He says over here, the same the Gra. We brought a lot from the Gra. He says that the Gra in many places talks about that whenever you are addressing someone, it needs to be positive, not negative. He says, the pasuk says, Yeshbota b'mitkaros cherev v'loshen chacham imirapei. He says, some people come against people with swords and knives and they stab and they stab and they stab, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help anything. I'm just left with wounds. He says, but a chacham is mirapei, it heals. The chacham brings you up, he makes you feel better, he raises you up and does all these things. The Gra explains this idea. One person gives and is screaming. The other person is being a rapa. He's giving healing and he's giving a bandage and he's giving medicine to make the person feel better. He says, when you want to fulfill the mitzvah of tochacha, it doesn't happen through screaming. It has to be, it's not peseder, he says, to scream because you're stabbing the person. It has to be lashon chachamim merapa in a beautiful way. The person has to, you have to give the person the kalim. If you're going to tell a person that they're doing something wrong, show them how to do it. Show them how to do it better. I'm talking about coloring on the walls, right? So you tell the child, don't color on the walls. Let me show you. Take out the paper. You take out the markers. You can do it at this table. Put newspaper down. You want to color? That's beautiful. That's very nice. But let me show you how to do it in the right way. Let me take the time to show you the best way to do it, right? Your kid is driving a car and they scratch the car, whatever it is. Come, let's practice again. Let's show how to do parallel parking. We're going to do it the right way. We're going to do it in a responsible way. And show them how to do it. Be merapa then. Heal the way they were doing it improperly and not just tell them that they're not beseder. He says something very important. He says, every person, when they do something wrong, deep down inside, they know they did something wrong. They don't need you to point out to them, right? You know, the kid does something very inappropriate, something wrong. They know they did something wrong. But so you're not going to beat them up again and tell them something wrong? They know it. So don't work on the fact, don't beat them down for doing something wrong. Build them up and how to do it better and how to heal them and how to do it in a more constructive and a more positive way. He says, but if you're going to go and give tochacha and you're going to scream, it's not beseder, and you're going to be stabbing the kid. It's only be left with wounds and tell them they're going to give up. They're going to be quiet. They're going to stop doing anything because they're not going to be interested in anything else. Tochacha, he says, has to be in the positive sense. Musar has to be in the positive sense. It shouldn't be in the negative, and that's the best way to do it. Okay, what time? 9:15 is that? Okay, fine.
Interesting. Not saying to do like a very short. Then they say to get a very short. To talk to the kid.
Yeah.
Very short, not like longer.
It depends. If you want the kid to correct it, meaning, if you want the kid to correct, if the kid knows and like the kid knows 100 times, you don't don't slam the door. So then I'm like, okay, please don't slam the door. Good. But if the child is doing something that they're mamish like backwards inside out, they're mamish something that's like very destructive, very. Like wrong, so come and teach them. Show them the right way, how to do it in a healthy way, and we'll take them through it, how to do it better.
So are there's ages where kids need to have a repercussion?
Sometimes,
yeah. Right, the word's not, they're not like...
Yeah.
So, he's not, doesn't seem like he's...
We're gonna get. So he says that Rav Isaac Scheer always spoke about himself. He says that he would always speak about the idea that you shouldn't feel guilty. You don't want to make a person feel guilty. A person knows that he's not Peseder. You don't have to go and keep on punching down on them. They know they're not Peseder. They get the point. You don't have to make them feel worse and worse. Try to lift them up. He says, let's say, he tells a story. Tells a story over here. He says one Motzei Rosh Hashanah, everyone was online to give a good yontif to the Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Isaac Scheer told me when I was online, he says, I got a lot of hana from your davening. So he said, what was the hana? So he said, I got a lot of hana that by Unas HaNatokef, everyone was crying and screaming, and everyone was shaking, and there was electricity in the air, and you were standing there, not moving, nothing, like very calm. Fine. He didn't say another word. So next Hanukkah, so he asked me, he says, do you remember by Unas HaNatokef, you were standing there not moving at all? So he said, I said, yeah. So he said to me, he says, what was going on in your head at that time? Were you just sound like daydreaming? Or like you were thinking about something specific? So he said that Rav Isaac Scheer was being mechanachas, that in everything there's tov and there's ra. And you have to look at the tov, and if there's something good. And if there's something ra, you'll open it up and look at all the sides. He said he saw me in Rosh Hashanah, I was daydreaming during the Sanakov. Not much like the highest point of the year. He saw I was daydreaming. So he didn't come and say, Hoffman, what's going on? It's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He said, I thought it was very interesting. And then Chanukah, he said, I'm very curious. What was going on? You were just daydreaming during Unasanat Tokev? Or there was something else going on? He did in a way because he was interested. He wanted to know what was going on beneath the surface. He didn't say, you shake it, so you're whacking daydream during the holiest part of davening. He did it in a way to open him up and do something different. He says that there's a big, he talks a lot about here about the hashpa of the society around us and the impact. He quotes a grow over here. I'm not going to get into the grow so much over here. And he goes on to, we'll move on to the next thing. He says that when a child messes up and he does something not peseder, so unfortunately, sometimes they'll say, you did something wrong, you're bad, things like that. Now the child begins to believe that. And he, turns away. And the parents keep on telling him, he's not worth anything, you don't have any value. And in his heart, he begins to think, yeah, I am not such a good person. There's something wrong with me. Who even needs me? And this causes him to not feel strongly about anything positive, and he doesn't connect. And therefore, the parents and the mechanchim, they have to, when they're making him feel not worth anything, and he's going to do more sins, and he's going to do more things that are wrong, because he says, why does it matter anymore? And over time, they're going to push him, they're going to press him, he's going to be depressed, and he's not going to be interested. And all that cheshek of anything good. He says, but people who think that, they're musardik, and they're giving musar, he says, they break the children. And it's very problematic, and it's very difficult for the child. And he turns away from himself, and he thinks that, I'm not going to have olam haba, and there's nothing here for me. The Rambam says, shushing in shul? Yeah, I don't have a problem with shushing in shul. I think that.
Only the Rav should do that. No one else.
Okay, fine. I don't have a problem with shushing in shul. Then I think that it depends on the circumstance. If it's a new person who comes to shul, doesn't know the shul, it's quietly say and say, please be. Yeah. So you have to know the teenager. You have to know the teenager. If the teenager is struggling to come to shul, so you're not going to shush him. But if it's like a teenager is there every single week, he's on time for brachas or whatever, and like tell him, it's like, shh, please stop. Like, no, you gotta know. And if you don't know, then don't say anything. If you don't know the situation, you can't say anything. You have to be extra careful there. The Rambam writes, look at this, it's a beautiful, look at this Rambam. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, V'alti a Rasha b'fnei asmacha, right? It says you shouldn't be a Rasha for yourself. So the Rambam writes, Im yachshov ha'adam es asmo Rasha, lo tiyach chamura be'inav shum aver la'asosa. If you start to think of yourself as a Rasha, then I could do any aver that I want. I'm already a Rasha. That's what the Rambam says. What a beautiful, powerful idea from the Rambam. So
There's a difference between Hasidus and Litvish.
Why?
The Washo.
He's pretty. We're pretty Litvish over here.
Right. Like, you know, every time, every tzaddik, so a typical kid in Lake would say, no.
Yeah.
It's a tzaddik.
Yeah.
And the truth is, when this kid said this to me, I was thinking maybe he's right. You know, it's nice to say everyone's a tzaddik.
I'll say this. I don't want this to be our last point. I don't believe. It's hard for me to say that every single when a person's doing something that's not, you know, sidkrus, because it's tzaddik. Every person has the potential to be a tzaddik. Every person has the opportunity to be a tzaddik. But when a person's doing something that's mamish wrong, it's chanufa. It's you're giving person a praise when they're doing something wrong. Every person has to be held on where they are.
The point on the other side would be that even a person you see doing something wrong, he doesn't really want to be doing at this point something wrong.
Yeah, but
could be in this Indian he has the problem, but in other Indian,
But he's not a tzaddik.
I didn't say call him a Russia. There's a long bridge.
Hall of Famer, and you basically will down the Hall of Fame.
There's a long bridge between a tzaddik and a Russia. They're very far apart. They're very far apart. And therefore, I didn't say call the person a Russia. I'm a Chol Tzaddik. Right? What's the rest of the Gemara?
That's right.
Except for these people. Except for these people.
It can't say I'm a
Chol Tzaddik. Yeah. I'm a Chol Tzaddik. The Gemara is a Chol and it says, except for these people. Alechul and Tzaddikim means that everyone has the potential to be a tzaddik. Everyone has the potential to be there. But has the potential. Let's just come to... No, we'll stop here for now. We didn't finish the whole thing, but we'll stop here for now.